siguro every decade ng ating iglesia, merong tayong serye on this series of doctrines that are called TULIP. Meron tayo niya nung 80s, meron tayo ng 90s. Kaya ito naman, itong decade na ito ay pag-aaralan natin muli by way of refreshing something which I believe to be very fundamental as far as doctrinal maturity is concerned. Kung tayo magiging mature sa ating paniniwala at mga doktrina, isa ito sa matatawag nating skeleton, part ng skeleton ng isang mabuting pangangatawang doktrina ng Kristiyano. Ipapaalala ko lamang sa inyo na sa kasaysayan, tinignan na natin to last month, but to put it in context, noong 1610 ay nagkaroon ng tinatawag na remonstrance o pagtututol, pagpoprotesta ng grupo ng mga tagasunod ni Arminius doon sa Dutch Church. At yung kanilang pinotesta ay 5 puntos ng doktrina. Yung sinasabi nilang dapat tanggalin sa paniniwala ng simbahan ang 5 puntos na ito, at sila ay sinagot sa taong 1619. Katagal-tagal ng sagot na yan. 1610 nagprotesta at sinagot ng 1619. Pero ganyan po yung state of communication noon. At ito ay nangyari sa tinatawag na Synod of Dort. At sinagot itong 5 puntos na ito na sa halip na tanggalin ay kanilang inaffirm. They affirm these 5 points of doctrine which have always been part of the mainstream theology of the evangelical church. Kumbaga sila yung nagpoprotesta, kanilang tinaguyod ang 5 puntos ng doktrina na yan na siyang kumakatawan sa doktrina ng isang evangelical church. Kaya tayo nagkaroon ng 5 points na tinatawag na Calvinism ay dahil pinotesta ito ng Arminianism. Kumbaga nauna silang iprotesta yung 5 puntos na pinaninindigan na ng simbahan noon pa man. And that's why we have these 5 points of Calvinism. Ito ay sinuma o ibinuod para madaling matandaan sa isang acronym, dahil ito yung Dutch, Netherlands, alam nyo yung pambansang bulaklak dyan ay TULIP. Kaya ginamit ng sa English na acronym ay itong TULIP, at minabuti ko na kaysa pahapyaw na tingnan lang natin nung nakaraang buwan, ay gagawin nating mas masusing pag-aaral isa-isa sa 5 puntos na yan. So we will consider one by one what these letters stand for, and I will try to explain that in some of these points, better names can be used rather than what they stand for, but because yan na yung para mas madaling matandaan, dyan tayo mag-uumpisa. So we will begin with these 5 points of doctrine. Gusto ko lang umpisan din sa pagpuna na lahat ng evangelicals, they are distinguished by the belief that salvation is by grace. Yan ang common denominator sa lahat ng evangelicals. Salvation is by grace, pero karaniwan sa mga evangelicals, pag sinabi nilang grace, ang karaniwan lang na pang salungat ay hindi sila salvation by works na kagaya ng Roman Catholics. In fact, this is the major divide between evangelicals and Roman Catholicism, is that we believe in salvation by grace. Pero yan ang nagpapababaw din. Among evangelicals, grace is understood nothing more as not works. Ang gagawin natin ay mas palalalimin natin the deeper significance of what grace is through these doctrines na tinawag ng TULIP. So, ibig sabihin, ang magpapalalim ng paniniwala natin sa biyaya ay kapag maunawaan natin itong kinakatawan nitong TULIP. Kaya ang isang katawagan sa kanya ay doctrines of grace. Mga doktrina ng biyaya, sapagkat ito ang nagpapalalim at nagliliwanag lalo sa biyaya ng Diyos. This is what deepens and this is what gives radiance to the doctrine of grace kapag maunawaan natin ang 5 puntos na ito. So, we will begin with D, which is total depravity. total depravity ang ating unang titingnan. Eh, tumutukoy ito sa extent. Ano yung saklaw ng kasalanan sa pagkatao natin? So this is referring to how has sin affected man? Gaano ba kaapektado ng kasalanan ang tao? Eh, yan din naman ang unang-unang puntos na pinrotesta ng remonstrants ang tungkol sa total depravity. Umpisaan natin by way of formal definition, by quoting from our Confession of Faith, and then ipapaliwanag po natin. Sa ating Baptist Confession of Faith, ito ay hango din sa Westminster Confession of Faith ng Presbyterians, Savoy Declaration of Faith ng Congregationalists, at ngayon meron tayong London Confession of Faith of 1689. Kaya kumbaga lahat ng Evangelical Reform nagsama-sama sa usapin na ito, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, and Baptists. At ito pare-pareho ang kanilang definition. By this sin, they, referring to Adam and Eve, fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and so became dead in sin and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of soul and body. So sa Tagalog, naging patay dahil sa kasalanan at ang kanilang buong katawan at kaluluwa ay lubusang nadungisan. So yung key dyan ay all faculties and parts of soul and body. Bigyan muna natin ng clarification kasi madalas pag pinanghahawakan natin ito, meron agad mga pagtutol, pero yung karaniwang pagtutol ay dahil sa hindi pagkaunawa. Objections are usually because of misunderstandings. So unang-unang clarification, hindi natin sinasabi dito na ang bawat tao ay lubos-lubos na ang kasamaan, na nasa pinakahustong kasamaan na. We are not saying that man can, each man is as sinful as can be. That's not true and it is not the case. And Calvinism does not teach that. Hindi natin tinuturo na bawat tao ay pinakamasama ng posibilidad ang nangyayari sa kanya. Meron tayong tinatawag, in fact, it was Calvin and Calvinists who have developed the doctrine came to be known as common grace. Ang ibig sabihin, may mga biyaya ang Diyos sa atin na hindi nakaliligtas, pero nakakatulong sa maraming paraan, pero kaya tinawag na biyaya ay dahil undeserved pa rin. Halimbawa, yung mga pagpapala natin sa araw-araw, yung karunungan natin, yung kaalaman natin, kaya tayo nakapamumuhay ng maganda dito sa mundo. Merong sibilisasyon, merong siyensya, at iba't iba pang mga bagay na nagiging mabuti ang pamumuhay, ang paliwanag dyan ng salita ng Diyos ay dahil biyaya pa rin ng Diyos. Hindi tayo iniwanan. Hindi tayo pinabayaan na lamang ng Diyos, kaya tayo nakapamumuhay pa rin ng may kainaman dito sa mundo is because of God's common grace. It's not saving grace, it does not save, but it is still grace because it is undeserved favor from God. And so Calvinists are not saying that every man is as sinful as can be. And also, naniniwala tayo that even in his sinful state, meron tayong conscience, budhi, konsyensya, na meron siyang kamalayan ng mabuti at masama. So hindi natin sinasabi that man has become callous when it comes to sin. It's not so. May mga sensitibo sa masama at mabuti dahil yan sa konsyensya. At Romans chapter 2 verse 14 acknowledges that and Calvinists believe that. So naniniwala tayo na meron pa rin ang mga tao pa rin ay may kamalayan sa mabuti at masama. May mga tao na hindi man evangelical yung kanilang pananampalataya ay napakatalas ng kanilang moralidad. I admire Cory Aquino's moral virtue. And who will not? I have already said in the past, I'm not an admirer of her administration. Yung pamamalakad noon, but as a person, I certainly extol her for her moral virtue. So with Mother Teresa and many other people who may not be evangelical in their faith, yet whose morality we can never dispute. But why is that? Because of conscience. Napakaganda ng iniwan ng konsyensya ng Panginoon sa atin. So, itong sinasabi natin ditong paliwanag. All men ay totoo ang total depravity. But even total depravity has degrees of practiced depravity. So not everyone has the same degree of totality of depravity. So halimbawang ikaw ay nagtimpla ng kape, naglagay ka ng asukal. Kung bibigyan niyo ako ng kape, huwag niyong lagyan ng asukal, bawal po sa akin. Pero kung kayo'y maglalagay ng asukal at inyong haluin, eh, merong impluensya ng asukal sa bawat bahagi ng kape. Pero may mga naglalagay ng kakarampot na asukal, merong maglalagay ng karami-raming asukal. So, ang punto rito, sugar will influence every part of the coffee, of the amount of coffee, but for some, more sugar than others. Well, ganyan yung total depravity. The depravity, sin has influenced every part of humanity, but for some, they have more sin than others. Mas malakas, mas marami ang antas ng kanilang kasalanan kaysa sa iba. So, kung meron mang mga kabutihan dito, it is still because of grace. Ang isang implication po niyan, kung may nakikita kang mabuti sa mundo, there is still God to thank rather than man to trust. Ito'y dahil pa rin sa kabutihan ng Diyos. Kaya pwede ka bang lumapit sa isang tao na gumawa sa iyo ng mabuti, hindi siya Kristiyano, pero gumawa ng mabuti at magpasalamat ka sa kanya? Of course, and in doing so, you acknowledge God behind it. Kinikilala mo yung Diyos sa likuran nito. So there are good things happening in this world. We're not denying that, and our belief in total depravity is not a denial of that. So, kaya yan ang pagliliwanag. Kaya kung meron kayong natatanggap na objection, sobra naman tingin mong sama sa tao, hindi po totoo yun. Hindi ganun ang sinasabi natin by this doctrine. So, what are we saying then by this doctrine? Well, let's begin with the fact that this is asserted in the scriptures. Kumbaga, talagang sinasabi ito ng kasulatan. Ang sinasabi ng kasulatan ay yung kasalanan ay pangkalahatan, universal, at ang kasalanan ay kumbaga walang exception. So tingnan natin ito sa katotohanan ng paglalahad ng kasulatan. This is asserted in the scriptures, first in the Old Testament. Ang turo sa Lumang Tipan ay ang paliwanag natin sa kasalanan ay nagsimula kay Adam. Well, kasama si Eve pero hindi sa kanya tinuntun yung kasalanan. May mga taong sinisisi si Eve, kundi ka ba naman kumain ng prutas at binigay mo pa kay Adam? Hindi po kay Eve tinitrace yung kasalanan. Tinitrace kay Adam through one man. Romans 5, sin entered into the world. So it's not through one woman, it's not even through one man or woman or through husband and wife. It says through one man. It's just Adam. So through Adam, all humanity, lahat ng sangkatauhan na galing kay Adan ay dala-dala yung kanyang kasalanan. Yan po ang katuruan ng kasulatan. Kaya mayroon tayong paliwanag. Hindi po iyan na hinihintay yung isang tao nung siya ipanganak, inosente siya at titingnan natin kung magkakasala siya. Hindi po ganun ang paliwanag sa Biblia. Ang paliwanag sa Biblia, by the very fact that we belong to Adam, we already carry his sin. Sa dahilan lamang na tayo ay kahanay ni Adam sa pagkatao niya, kinatawan niya tayo. Siya ang kumatawan sa atin. Kaya nung tayo isilang kahanay ni Adan, daladala na natin yung kanyang kasalanan. Ang tawag po rin sa theology ay imputed sin. Ibinilang ang kasalanan ni Adan sa lahat ng sangkatauhan. Tumayo siyang kinatawan natin. Kaya daladala na natin. So, kailan tayo naging makasalanan? Hindi nung una tayong nagkasala. Kundi sa pagiging tao pa lang natin, tayo ay makasalanan na. I was born in iniquity, Psalm 51:5, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are strange from the womb. They tell lies as soon as they are born. Alam nyo ba, napakagandang at napaka-practical na doktrina ito para sa mga magulang. Yung tingnan nyo yung mga bata, kung minsan tingin natin munting anghel, eh siguro mukhang anghel at cute na cute. Pero ang tamang tingin dyan ay Proverbs 22:15, yung kamangmangan na tumutukoy sa kasalanan ay nasa puso ng bata. Kaya't ang trato ng magulang bilang kinatawa ng Diyos ay supilin ito sa pamamagitan ng angkop na pagpapalaki, pagtuturo, at pagdidisiplina. Napaka-practical na doktrina na sabihin mo lahat ay makasalanan na. Nag-umpisa sa pagkabata, and this is asserted in the scriptures, yung pagkamakasalanan ng lahat. Kaya dito, sa taas ng inyong handout, ang sa aking palagay pinakamaliwanag na sinasabi sa depravity natin, Jeremiah 17:9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So dito ang sinasabi ay sin is universal, pang lahat-lahat. May mga nagsasabi na ang mga bata ay parang katulad ni Adan, hihintayin kung magkakasala. Ang hamon ko rin ay magpakita ka sa akin ng hindi nagkasala. I mean, to prove your theory that every child is like Adam under probation, kung magkakasala o hindi, the simple fact is walang hindi nagkasala. Lahat ay nagkakasala. Now, how do you explain the universality of sin? The explanation of the scripture is Adamic. Not genetic, not environmental, not hereditary, but Adamic. That's the theology of the scripture. Kaya lahat ay makasalanan ay dahil galing tayo kay Adan na kumatawan sa atin. And this prepares the ground for universal judgment. Kung universal ang kasalanan, pangkalahatan, that explains universal judgment. Lahat ay hahatulan. Yan din ay katuruan ng kasulatan. Hahatulan ang lahat. At kung hahatulan ang lahat, kailangan ng lahat ng tagapagligtas. Hindi mo na maililigtas ang iyong sarili. Wala nang pwedeng magligtas ng kanyang sarili. Kaya any idea na ang isang tao ay may sapat na moralidad para siya itanggapin ng Diyos already flies in the face of Scripture. Scripture teaches that from Adam we have all sinned. And by sinning, we are all under judgment. And therefore, you and I need a Savior for the simple reason you cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. We need someone to save us. Yan ang turo ng lumang tipan. At pagdating sa bagong tipan, from Adam, ang turo naman ng bagong tipan ay there is only one Savior. Eh, siguro may magsasabi, kung lahat ng galing kay Adan ay makasalanan na, paano si Jesus? Di ba't pinanganak din siya? Eh, yan po ang ganda ng doktrina ng virgin birth. Na siya isinilang na walang ama na tao, kundi siya isinilang sa sinapupunan ni Maria mula sa banal na espiritu. Bakit? Sapagkat ang turo ng Biblia, siya ang ikalawang Adam. The second Adam, the last Adam. Kumbaga'y kinakatawan ng sangkatauhan sa dalawang Adan. Ang una, doon sa Eden na pumalya, at ang ikalawa ay sa kinatawan ni Yesu Kristo para sa kanyang mga sasampalataya sa kanya. So, itinuturo din ng bagong tipan ang pagkamakasalanan ng lahat at tinutuntun din sa kalooban natin, yung sa puso natin. Yan ang sabi sa Mark 7:21, nung kausap ni Jesus yung mga pariseo na hinuhusgahan yung mga disipulo na hindi naghugas ng kamay. Eh, dapat naman talaga tayo maghugas ng kamay, pero yung tinutukoy nilang paghuhugas ng kamay, yung ceremonial and religious. So para sa kanila, hindi mo ginawa yung seremonya, marumi ka na. At ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa kanila, it is not what is from without that defiles the man, but it is from within, from the heart. Sa makatwid, saan mo makikita ang pagkamakasalanan mo? Sa puso mo. Hindi dun lang sa gawa, kundi nagsimula. The fountainhead of our sinfulness is the heart. So sin is traced to the human heart, your inner self, from which all other sins derive. Anong pinapakita po nitong napakahalagang implikasyon? Isang napakahalagang implikasyon po niyan, there can be no appeal to the virtue of the human heart. Sinasabi ko yan because this is one of the most popular teachings today na hindi man tama ang paniniwala ng isang tao, hindi man siya naniniwala kay Jesucristo, pero titingnan daw ng Diyos yung kanyang puso. At kung yung kanyang puso ay pure, sakdal, kahit hindi siya naniniwala kay Jesucristo, walang tagapagligtas kay Kristo, maliligtas din siya. That is a lie. That is a grand deception. Because if there is any reason why any man will be condemned, is because of his heart. Yan nga ang Jeremiah 17:9. If there is one last bastion of our depravity, it is the heart. We can make our works, at least theoretically, flawless. Ibig sabihin, yung gawa natin, maaaring mabuti, pananalita natin, mahusay, pero ang nananatiling masama sa atin, ang puso. Kaya nga Proverbs 21:2, every man is pure in his own eyes, but God searches the heart. Ang punto roon, pasado ka man sa lahat ng bagay, sa harap ng Panginoon, ang puso mo papalya. And I'm saying this to each one. If you're somehow hoping that there is virtue in your heart, you are hoping in the most flimsy ground of all. Yan ang pinakamanipis mong titindigan, ay ang iyong puso. Kaya nga, pag may nag-o-object sa akin, paano na yung mga kagaya ni Mother Teresa, Mahatma Gandhi, mga mabubuting tao, hindi ko tatanggihan yung kanilang kabutihang panlabas. Pero ang kanilang puso, nakikita ng Diyos. At sa puso pa lang, tayo'y sapat ng hahatulan ng Diyos. We all deserve judgment just because of the depravity of our own hearts. And who will object? I mean, if you know your heart, how can you object? A.W. Tozer, that great evangelical writer, once wrote, "I have seen many ugly sights, but none uglier than the sight of my own heart." And I say to that, amen and amen. None uglier than my heart. So, pag pinag-usapan ng depravity, ibabalik ito sa puso natin. At mula sa puso, lahat na sa pagkatao. When John summarized what is in the system of humanity, he only had three things to say. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Ano-ano yun? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Yan ang sinabi niyang, that is all in the world. At pumili ka ng anumang kasalanan ng tao, maikakategorya mo sa tatlong yan. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And that's total depravity asserted in the scriptures. Now let's dissect it. Himayin natin. Sinabi natin, total depravity, hindi natin sinasabi na yung buong tao na ay puro kasalanan. Pero sinasabi natin na sa bawat parte ng pagkatao, may kasalanan. Gaano man yan, pero bawat parte, andyan ang impluensya ng kasalanan. Sin has affected the whole of man in every part. Ang sabi ng ating confession of faith, tinukoy yung body. Eh, sino bang tututol na naimpluensyahan ng kasalanan ng ating katawan? Every time you face the mirror, It tells you sin has influenced, sin has corrupted. And the Bible teaches that the corruption of our body, ibig sabihin yung vulnerability natin sa kahinaan, sakit, and ultimately, death is traced back to sin. Death, in other words, is not a biological conclusion to life. Death is the moral penalty to sin. God created man not to be naturally dying. Rather, death is the penalty to sin. Ang kamatayan ay parusa ng kasalanan. Nangyari yan kay Adam. And then, we are told, Romans 6:23, the penalty of sin is death. So, death, both in terms ng spiritual, but we are now talking of physical death. Kaya tayo namamatay ay dahil sa katotohanan ng kasalanan. Himayin natin sa ating pangkaluluwa. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Narito ang paghihimay ng impluensya ng kasalanan. Romans 3 beginning verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Kung himayin natin dyan, what does that include? Saan natin makikita ang pagkamakasalanan natin? Ay unahin natin sa mind. No one understands. Kumbaga, na-impluensyahan ng kasalanan ng pagkaunawa. Kahit hindi makikita mo yung tao, henyo, can you imagine what man's genius has achieved? Eh, araw-araw halos, with the merciful exception of weekends, I spend hours on the computer. Siguro, yung iba sa inyo, ganun din. And I don't know much about the hardware of the computer. Kung pagagawin niyo ako, pag nasira, hindi ko magagawa. But I spend hours on the computer and I'm just amazed what the human mind has achieved by this device. So, can you imagine? Yet, kausapin mo yung taong yan with the simplicity of the message of the gospel and he can't get it. What does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Itong human genius na ganito ang kanilang naaabot, yung simpleng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo, hindi maunawaan, kung minsan hinahamak, iniinsulto. And yet, that's what we have been before we came to the gospel. Yan ang isip ng tao. Or affections, yung kakayahan nating gustuhin, mahalin. What does the Bible say? John 3:19, this is the condemnation that when the light came, man loved darkness more than the light. Tingnan natin sa pinaka-controversial na bahagi ng ating kakayahan, the will. Napag-usapan na natin ito last month, pero sariwain lamang natin, madalas akusahan na ang Calvinist hindi naniniwala sa free will. Wrong. Every Reformed confession, Westminster, Savoy, Helvetic, and of course the Baptist confession, I have all these confessions and each one of them has a chapter on free will. Calvinists believe in free will. Ibig sabihin, naniniwala ang Calvinist na ang gawain ng taong, yung pagpapasya ng isang tao ay malaya niyang pagpapasya. Hindi siya pinilit, hindi siya hinatak, hindi siya hinila against his will. Ginagawa niya according to his will. So the will is free, but in the sinful man, sa makasalanang tao, ang free will niya ay evil. Hindi nakapagitna sa good and evil. Yun ang neutral will na hindi natin tinatanggap. Pero ang free will ng tao is an evil free will. It is free, but it freely chooses according to its nature. And its nature is evil. Kaya yung sinabi sa 2 Timothy 2:26 ay slave of the devil to do as a captive of his will. Alipin ang kalooban ng kasamaan. So mula dyan, tingnan natin sa all moral deeds. Lahat ng ginagawa ng tao, sinabi ko na kanina, gumagawa ba ng mabuti ang tao? Yes, in terms of human relationship. But can man ever do something good that will make him acceptable to God? No. Isaiah 64:6, even all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. Yung maging yung mga kabutihan natin ay maruming basahan nang dahil dumaraan sa pagkamakasalanan natin. So mabuti siya in terms of human relations, but in terms of our relationship with God, no, it will never make us acceptable to God. Kaya't babaliktaro yan pag may bumalik sa atin o nag-object sa atin, tiyak may hahamon sa akin o nasa na ang kaluluwa ni Cory Aquino. Malay ko, hindi ako Diyos na mag-uus ka ng ganoon. Pero ito ang sasabihin ko, huwag mong ibatay sa kanyang naging mabuting pagkatao. Pag sinabi mong siya'y pupunta sa langit dahil siya'y naging mabuting tao, hindi ko tatanggapin yan. At hindi yan ayon sa Biblia. Kinakailangan tingnan natin na maging ang kabutihan natin hindi katanggap-tanggap sa Diyos nang dahil sa ating pagkamakasalanan. And from our moral deeds, sinabi naman na a carnal mind is enmity against God. Hindi tayo magiging sa ating pagkamakasalanan ay magiging mabuti sa harap ng Diyos. And from there, kasama ng total depravity ay ang implication nito, yung tinatawag na total inability sa spiritual things. Sa mga spiritual na bagay, sa kanyang sarili, hindi makatutugo ng tao sa ebanghelyo, sa mga bagay ng Diyos. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. John 6:65, no one can come to me unless the Father first teaches him. Malaging pag-una ang Diyos. Sa sarili natin, hindi tayo makatutugon. We cannot. That's part of total depravity. So pag sinasabi natin yung total depravity ng tao, ang tinutukoy natin ay yung impluensya ng kasalanan. Hindi natin dinideny na nakagagawa ng mabuti ang tao sa kanyang kapwa. We do not deny that there are virtues that are clearer in human life and civilization. And we do not deny that God blesses humanity. But in terms of sin, sin has influenced, has corrupted every part of our humanity so that there is no part that we can say is sinless. Every part of our humanity is sinful. Body, soul, and in our soul, our mind, our affections, our will, and that makes our moral deeds unacceptable before God. And that makes us spiritually unable even to respond to the very thing that can save us. And that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the practical implication of this? Ito ba'y nangangahulugan na walang pag-asa ang tao? E kung ang conclusion mo ay wala kang pag-asa sa iyong sarili, good. Because that's what this means. Wala tayong pag-asa sa ating sarili. But what it means, ito yung ground ng talagang ma-appreciate natin yung grace. Kaya nga inumpisahan ko sa pagpuna, lahat ng evangelicals naniniwala sa salvation by grace, and yet even evangelicals make grace so shallow. It's not amazing to them. Why? Because they have not deepened it by the doctrine of our depravity. Sabi ng Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Ibig sabihin ay mas makikita natin kung gaano kasagana ang biyaya kung makita natin kung gaano kagrabe yung ating kasalanan. Habang pinabababaw natin yung epekto ng kasalanan sa atin, hindi natin makikita kung gaano kasagana ang ginawa ng Diyos para tayo biyayaan. Now, one practical implication of this, when this is part of our mandate as a Reformed Church of Reformation, is we need to challenge many practices today oriented to human ability. At kasama rin sa evangelism. When people practice, for example, na all you need to do is raise your hand, repeat after me, at kapag na-repeat mo yung panalangin, Lord, I receive you into my heart, yan na ang kaligtasan, we need to challenge that because it is a method oriented to human ability which we deny. Kailan mananampalataya ang isang makasalanan? Acts 16:14, the Lord opened Lydia's heart that she heeded the message of the Apostle Paul. So it's not that she repeated a prayer or she raised her hand or she came forward sa front ng church, kundi kumilos ang Panginoon sa kanya. Kaya ang ginagawa natin, mangaral ng mensahe, magpatotoo, we try to win souls, we give away tracts, but with a prayer that God will move through the message in order to work in the heart. Pero hindi tayo gagamit ng paraan na ang batayan ay kaya mo yan. Siguro, sumunod ka lang sa akin, humakbang ka lang, magtaas ka lang ng kamay. We need to challenge these methods. They are oriented to human ability. And on the part of Christian grace, ito ang batayan ng isang napakahalagang Christian grace, the grace of humility. For sinners to really be humble, an essential part is consciousness of sin. Tingnan natin our last text, Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Napakagandang mga pangungusap ito, 29. Ezekiel 36, 29 and following, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, says, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine, etc. Now verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your house, or for your ways, O house of Israel. Ang ibig sabihin, pag binayayaan na sila ng Diyos ng kaligtasan at itong napakaraming masaganang pagpapala ng kaligtasan, mamamangha sila sa biyaya ng Diyos at ang batayan ng kanilang kamanghaan ay kung gaano sila makasalanan. We will never be amazed at the grace of God until we're conscious of how sinful we are. And that is what's lacking in evangelicalism today. The reality and the depth of sin, yung kalaliman ng kasalanan, ay hindi hinuhukay, kung kaya't what is the prevailing spirit? Not humility, but pride. So itong aking palagay ay pinakahamon ng doktrina na ito, that on the one hand, it will give you biblical realism. So yung pag nakikita mo yung mga nangyayari sa lipunan, yung kasalanan, kuminsan na-amaze tayo. Well, on the other hand, kung alam mo ang doktrinang ito, it will give you realism. That's what man is. Man is sinful. This afternoon, sa message natin sa Ecclesiastes, makikita natin yung comparison ng Ecclesiastes of man to a beast. And we will see one reason is depravity. Yung kasamaan. Nakikita natin yung itong tao na may dignidad ay lumalagay sa antas ng, let's put it this way, kahayupan. Ang paliwanag natin ay depravity. So it gives you realism but a realism that is joined to the grace of God. No matter how depraved, even the most depraved can yet be reached by the grace of God. So every Christian is a story of grace reaching depravity. And every Christian should say, amen. I am a story of grace reaching a depraved human being. Kaya napakahalaga at sa aking palagay, napaka-practical ng doktrina ng total depravity. Any question, any thoughts, or even testimony you would like to share sa ating discussion? Raise your hand if you have any question or thoughts to share. Ah, may mga nakasulat na tanong.
Meron po mga nakasulat na tanong. Paano nagkakaroon kaagad ng kasalanan ng mga baby kahit na sa womb pa lang sila ng kanilang mother? How many times tayo magsisin?
Very good question. Dahil nga, all humanity na pinanganak sa hanay ni Adam ay kinatawan ni Adam. Kumbaga, we are under the representative headship. Tayo ay nasa ilalim ng kinakatawang pagkapangulo ni Adam, kaya yung ginawa niya ay ginawa niya bilang kinatawan natin, kaya yung kasalanan niya ay ibinilang na kasalanan natin. Ay, sasabihin ng iba, dabay, teka muna, ba't kailangan ka lang may kinatawan? Gusto ko, sarili ko. Kaya hatulan ako ng Diyos sa aking sariling ginawa. Alam niyo bang ibig sabihin yan? Ang ibig sabihin niyan, eto si Adam, nasa perfect environment, walang kasalanan pa, perfect human nature. Ibig sabihin, nasa kanya ang lahat. Nagkasala siya. Kung sasabihin mo na hatulan ako ng Diyos sa aking sarili, you're saying you are now in an imperfect environment with so many sins around you, and yet you want to be judged on your own behalf. What that means is if you sin just once, if you sin just once, you have no hope. You are eternally condemned without any hope. Whereas, in the present instance, you are a sinner because of a representative, you can be saved because of another representative, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your only hope and mine is by the structure of representatives. This is wisdom. Alam niyo, namamangha ako sa karunungan ng Diyos na inayos niya ang sangkatauhan sa pamamagitan ng mga kinatawan. Sa halip na hinatulan ako sa sarili ko, matakot ka sa isip na ganun. As a teacher of theology, sometimes I encounter this objection. And when I encounter this objection, I can answer it easily theologically, but inside of me, I cringe when I hear an objection like this because this person doesn't know what he's saying. Nahatulan siya ng Diyos sa sarili niyang usapin, isang kasalanan lang niya, wala na siyang pag-asa. Samantalang sa ganitong pagkakaayos, tayo na masahol na makasalanan, maliligtas ng dahil sa ating kinatawang Hesukristo. So, yes, even babies from the womb is already carrying the imputed sin of Adam, which explains why even every baby meron ng kasalanan. Anong sabi ng Biblia? Psalm 58:3, they tell lies as soon as they are born. Kaya kayong mga nanay, huwag kayong tuwing iyak na lang, naku, na-spoil na yung bata sa pagka-baby pa lang, yung iyak na yan, pampalakas lang yan, kuminsan pabayaan natin. At huwag lagi na lang tayo nasa kanya. It's very practical. May magtataas ng kamay o magbabasa pa tayo ng iba. Sige, like.
Bakit po kailangan magpatuloy ang pagkakaroon ng sin? May mga pastor bang nagsisin?
Ako. lahat po, lahat ng mga tao kasama ang mga Kristiyano ay patuloy ang katotohanan ng kasalanan. Kaya nga patuloy tayong nangangailangan Ito yung kagandahan ng minsanan, sinabi ng Book of Hebrews, ang kamatayan ng Panginoon ay minsanan tayong iniligtas. At ang ibig sabihin niyan ay kahit na tayo ay makasalanan at patuloy yan, ay naroon sa atin ang patawad ng Diyos upang tayo ay maging tagasunod ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya huwag niyo po akong tingnan na isang anghel sapagkat ako po ay hindi anghel. I'm a sinner corrupt and only saved by grace just like every true believer.
Pastor, tanong lang po. You know how some people excuse themselves from their sin by saying, oh, the devil made me do it? Ano po talaga bang role ng devil sa sinning? If, as you said before, sin is traced from inside, from the human heart.
That's a good question. There can be many excuses for one's sin, but it is the sinner who will always give account for his sin. Not the devil. Of course, the devil may have a role in temptation. The devil may have a role in terms ng iba't ibang bagay na kinakalaban niya sa atin. But ultimately, our sin is ours to give account to God for. Kaya we cannot make an excuse of the devil made me do it. No, kaya nga babalik tayo sa free will. No, the devil did not make you do it. In some cases, the devil did not even tempt us to do something. We did it on our own corruption. There are times there may be the temptation of the devil or demonic forces. But even when there is temptation, our sin is ours to give account to God for. Kaya wag natin gamitin na excuse yung diablo o sino paman. Ang kasalanan natin ay ating kasalanan. And that also means yung patawad sa kasalanan ay patawad na kailangan natin para sa ating sarili, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, any follow-up or a new question? Yes, Tito Ay.
Ito, tungkol sa puso.
Opo.
We have condemned the heart already here. Ngayon, that might be symbolism kasi ang puso, sinasabi natin, ay pag-ibig. And God is love, the heart. Now, ano na, kagaya halimbawa, sa kotse, ay lalagay ang puso, UPLB. Ngayon, if we condemn the heart na wicked, body, parang kinukondem na natin yung puso. Number two, sinabi natin na ang ating nagagawa sa kapwa na maganda ay hindi sapat na like when Dios said, Corey Aquino has done something so that he will be saved. And you do that, you said you are ready to challenge that. Now, how does this reconcile with the passage in the Bible which says, what you do to the rest of your brethren, you have done it to me. So there are the two
po,
things.
Sige, salamat po. Una, tungkol sa puso, we have condemned the heart, yes. In terms of its sinfulness, it is sinful and the Bible tells us so directly and so many times. But in condemning the heart, we are not saying that it is not capable of love because it is. And hindi natin kinokondena bawat ginagawa ng puso. Yung puso na umiibig at iba pang mga bagay ay sinabi ko na kanina na may mga mabuting bagay na ginagawa tayo kasama na yung ginagawa ng puso. And we are not condemning everything that the heart does, but we do say that the heart is sinful. And that is clear in the scriptures. Now, yung moral deeds, hindi kailanman magiging acceptable as a ground of salvation before God. And again, that is clear in scripture. But what does it mean sa Matthew chapter 25, na what you have done to my brethren, you have done to me, eh yan po ay sinasabi doon sa mga tatanggapin, hindi on the ground of what they have done to their brethren, kundi that is one of the evidences that they belong to Christ. One of the evidences that we belong to Christ is that we do good to the brethren na kasama sa kikilalanin sa judgment day. Kasi nga, sabi sa 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will be judged according to the works done in the body, whether good or bad. Eh, sa makatwid ay kasama sa judgment ay yung mga mabubuting gawa natin, pero hindi ibig sabihin na yun ang ground ng salvation. Ang ground ng salvation, ng kaligtasan, ay yun lamang ginawa ng Panginoong Heso Kristo at kung yun ay ating pagtiwalaan. Wala pong iba. Acts 4:12, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we can be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us ground our salvation upon Christ alone, but a person who really believes in Christ will do good works. Are there questions or thoughts you like to share? Sige, basa ka ng isa pa, type.
If Adam didn't sin, would we not sin? If God knew Adam would sin, why didn't He stop him? Can we sin when we are sleeping? Anong po ng mga bata?
Tatlo yun. Okay, if Adam did not sin, would we have sinned? No. Tanda, Adam was put on probation. Kung pinasa niya yung time frame ng probation, he would have been confirmed. Tandaan nyo, may dalawang tree na binanggit doon sa paradise, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam passed the probation na not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have been given access to the tree of the tree of life. At yun ang nakita naman sa Revelation na siyang reward for the righteous. In other words, if Adam did not sin during the probation, then he would have been confirmed in eternal life of sinlessness, and all humanity after him would have been sinless humanity. Pero hindi nangyari yon. But, second question, if God knew that Adam would sin, why did He not stop him? That is His sovereign will. That is His sovereign choice with a plan to His glory. So yun ang bagay na hindi natin kikwestiyonin. God knew because He knew all things. God could have stopped him because God is sovereign. God did not stop him because also He is sovereign. And because He did not, we are what we are. At yan yung bagay na yan. Could we sin in our sleep? I have sinned many times in my sleep. And upon waking up, had to confess even my sin in my sleep. And this is something that is true of our sinfulness. We sin when we are awake. We sin when we are asleep. We sin consciously. We sin unconsciously. That's the fact of our total depravity. Kaya, pero kung kayo pinapatulog ng mga bata, huwag nyo sabihin, ayoko pa po, baka magkasala ako sa aking pagtulog. Kasalanan yung sumuway sa at utos ng magulang. Sige, Mayan.
Yun nga po, part of our total depravity is we sin, right?
Yes.
We still sin. I have very close friends kasi na embrace this Bob George. I'm sure narinig niyo po yung Bob George 1 John 1:9 na dahil tinanggap na natin si Kristo at tayo ay saved na, all our sins have been saved. That's the principle daw ng cleansed. So even yung future sins natin cleansed na. Yun ang sinasabi nung prinsipyo na yun. I have very close friends na ini-embrace yung prinsipyo na yun. What is the stand of the church dito sa 1 John 1:9?
Well, unang-una, justification by faith settles the sin accountability on the judgment day of the Christian. That means past, present, future. It's settled by justification by faith. But that is only one blessing of salvation. Another blessing of salvation is sanctification, which is both definitive as well as progressive. There is progressive sanctification, and part of progressive sanctification is that we deal with our sins progressively. Mortifying, sanctifying. Kaya yung ang gagawin niya ay settled na lahat ng kasalanan, therefore I can just go on sinning and without any remorse, without any progress in sanctification, is therefore showing a bad understanding as well as a questionable profession of faith. kung ganun yung kanyang pag-aakala dahil hindi niya pinapakita yung side of sanctification. Eh, yun ngang 1 John 1:9 ang nagpapakita na, in fact, the whole context shows that a true Christian is one who has fellowship with the Father and the Son. And fellowship with the Son means fellowship in the light. At ayaw niyang lumakad sa kadiliman. Pero, yung katotohanan na meron pa rin tayong kasalanan means we need daily confession. So if we confess our sin, very balanced itong 1 John 1 and 2. In fact, sinasabi roon yung katotohanan ng we have fellowship in the light, kaya yung Kristiyano nagpapakabanal. But, anong sinabi? If anyone says, I have no sin, he lies. So, ibig sabihin, yung balance ng lumalakad sa kabanalan pero totoo pa rin ang kasalanan kahit sa isang Kristiyano. And so the balance of 1 John 2:1, kung ituloy natin yung 1 John 1:9 hanggang sa 2:1, ang exhortation ay do not sin. That's the standard. Do not sin. Pero sinundan ka agad ng if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father who is Jesus Christ. Kaya ang balance ay nagsisikap ang Kristiyanong huwag magkasala, pero ang katotohanan ay may kasalanan at kailangan natin ng palaging kapatawaran. Other questions? Glenn?
Yung basic question doon sa after 1619 ba, Pastor, may rebuttal ba yung kabilang panig against the tulip? My next question, because of our knowledge of total depravity, can we say then that the best candidates for presidency are the Christians?
Ano yan? For...
Marami nagsasabi na dapat Kristiyano ang magiging presidente dahil depraved daw lahat.
Okay, so una muna sa historical question, were there rebuttal dun sa Synod of Dort? Marami. Yeah, but again, hindi na yung formal. Kumbaga, ito yung nag-formal na, may formal protest, ang remonstrance, 1610, sinagot ng 1619, and after that, it's settled for the Dutch Church. Now, marami mga writings after that, both sides, hanggang ngayon. So, both sides ang tinitindigan. Pero, more or less, in terms of formality of history, this settles it. Now, does that mean that the best candidate is a Christian? No. Because we are dealing with common grace pagdating sa government. And in government, ang kailangan natin ay a just person and a competent person. Pagsamahin natin yung justice and competence. At pag pinagsama natin ng justice and competence, it doesn't have to be a Christian. Sometimes there are Christians who are incompetent. And between two candidates, one is a Christian, one is not a Christian, I will not vote on the basis of Christian loyalty. I will vote on the basis of who I believe is more competent and just rather than who is the Christian. I have a booklet with the title, Do We Need a Christian President? Siguro yung iba sa inyo meron na yan. There are still a few remaining, and I answer that question in that booklet. I don't believe we need a Christian president. We need a just and competent president. So let us not be messianic when it comes to government. Yan ang talagang ayaw na ayaw ko ay yung mga taong messianic ang kanilang approach sa pamamahala. I don't need a messiah. Just give me one who is competent. But if you're a Christian and you think you're competent and just, by all means, we have Abraham Kuyper, who became Prime Minister of the Netherlands in 1900, one of the best in the history of the Netherlands, and he was a reformed Christian. So, kung meron sa inyong gusto magkandidato, lalaki o babae man, ay kumbinsihin ninyo ang mga katulad kong botante na kayo'y matuwid as well as magaling. Iyon ang hinahanap. Gene.
Sorry. Pastor, dun sa itong teaching implication, yes. Lesson to me, yung teaching ng total depravity gives a balanced view of the philosophies. Kasi sa tingin ko, hindi natin totally or outrightly reject yung mga philosophies, but yes, we can understand too na very limited din yun because of itong ang reality of total depravity.
Yeah, exactly. And I read and I love to read about philosophies dahil yan yung mga ideas ng mga tao, and there are good things that they say, but again, total depravity is always a tempering doctrine to human philosophies. At pag-aralan natin yung mga sinasabi nila, pero lagi nating ibalik sa katotohanan ng total depravity of man. It always has a tempering of influence to any philosophy. Go ahead, Ike.
Pakiulit daw po yung what is evil.
What is evil? Ano ang masama? Well, sa biblical definition, ay sabi sa 1 John 3 verse 4, pagsalangsang sa kautusan o pagsuway sa kautusan, violation of the law, or lawlessness. So in other words, there's the standard, God's law, when that is violated either by doing what it forbids or not doing what it commands, it is evil. So, yun ang pinakasimple. Kung gusto mo ng theological definition, sinabi ni Augustine, evil does not exist of itself like good. Evil is rather the absence of good. May mga dualistic kasi na walang good kung walang evil. Hindi totoo yan. Good has always existed because there's always God. But at a certain point, evil existed as a privation of good. Violation of good. Evil cannot exist in and of itself. It imitates good on its ugly side. So evil is not a necessary existence like good. Pero hindi nyo kailangan yun, mga bata. Ibig sabihin lang ng evil, pag sumuway ka sa utos ng Diyos, yun ay masama. Yan ang masama. Other questions?
How did free will become evil?
How did free will become evil? Is again, si Adam ang kanyang will ay good but fallible. Explain, it was good but he could change because it was put under probation. So when it changed by choosing sin, it was still free but already evil. So how did free will become evil? By the fall of Adam. And by the fall of Adam, that which used to be good and free will became evil and free will. Sige, basa tayo.
Is it right for a Christian to quickly say he's doing nothing wrong when rebuked, considering that, quote, his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately weak?
Okay, ulit yung first part.
Is it right for a Christian to quickly say he is doing nothing wrong when rebuked, considering that his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? What should the right reaction be?
Well, when you are rebuked for something, of course, the natural reaction natin ay mag-defend, but the humble reaction is to be considerate. Kung may lumapit sa iyo, always consider ang bagay na ito. The person who came to you to rebuke you most likely was hesitant. At least sa ating mga Pilipino, hindi ba? We would rather not confront a person. So when a person confronts you, most likely he has struggled with it. And now he confronts you, at least consider the sincerity of the person and the effort that he went through. The humble reaction is consider. Kung meron siyang sinasabi sa iyo, yun nga ang point na don't immediately resort to defense. Just consider. Other questions? Ike. Ike number 3 after ni Ike Jr. And Ike Senior.
Actually po, dito po doon sa statement ano, regarding evangelicals. Ano, evangelicals themselves have made grace very shallow in concept and practice. And yun sa second to the last statement, that this will challenge popular practices of evangelism oriented to human ability. Kasi po ako personally, I'm a product of evangelical Christian. Actually, I became Christian almost 16 years ago. And I cannot forget that instance wherein the person who called us to accept Christ relied on his ability to accept si Cristo. And through the years, in the church that we've been attending, I never felt anything relying only on human ability. Meaning, total dependence pa rin sa grasya ng Panginoon. So, in my opinion lang po, no, yung statement by evangelicals, this might be very sweeping. Meaning, I believe maraming evangelical Christians na taliwas din talaga doon sa katuruan, tunay na katuruan ng Panginoon. But again, as per my experience, I never had any encounter na even sa through the months that I've attended sa Grace, magkasalungat sila. I think there are still evangelical Christians, in my opinion, which really adhere dun sa statutes po ng Panginoon, yung tunay na statutes ng Panginoon.
Okay, thank you. Let me be very clear. We are evangelicals. We put ourselves under the category ng evangelicals. So pag sinabi ko evangelicals, hindi ko sinasabing kami hindi, sila ang evangelicals. We belong to the group ng evangelicals because we believe in the evangel. Now, among evangelicals, we would be considered reformed evangelicals. Now, when I say evangelicals na gumagamit ng ganitong sistema, I'm referring to those evangelicals who with the Arminian concept, which is the majority, use these methods based on the concept of human ability, and so the methods are oriented to human ability. Am I saying the people who profess faith through these methods are not saved? I'm not saying that, because I believe in God's sovereignty, and in God's sovereignty, many are saved in spite of wrong methods. But I stand by my point that these methods are, by the very fact that they are oriented to human ability, are deceiving many. And kung sinabi mong you have not encountered, I belong to that category who have encountered so many. I have been preaching for almost 3 decades now, and I have seen so many who they make the profession, they repeat a prayer, they have come forward, they have yung mga messages na to, and after that you don't see them anymore. So in other words, they have gone through the methods, they have been given the assurance, and afterwards time proves that there is no evidence of faith, no hunger for God, no thirst for the word, and yet what remains in them is the assurance given by the soul winner that they are children of God, even though no fruit of their so-called profession of faith. And what happens is what Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew 23, they have become twice the child of the devil or the child of hell than before, because it becomes the harder to win them after they have made a profession of faith and when there is no reality to it. And I've encountered it again and again. Naalala ko noon as a young soul winner, young preacher, ginamit ko yung method na yan. And then bibisitahin ko yung mga nag-repeat ng prayer, pagtataguan ako. How do you say that these are people who have been converted? So, I'm sorry, but I belong to the other side who have encountered again and again people who have gone through these methods and have no true conversion. So, I stand by my point that we don't need these methods, because people who will be saved by God will be saved by preaching the truth. But by using these methods, there are those who are deceived into thinking that they are converted when they are not. Annie.
Actually, marami na rin nag-invite sa akin na Christian. And then, madalas na sinasabi, oh, mas ano kami kasi full gospel, parang full gospel kami. Ang inaano na, we are different from the others kasi mas, parang mas okay sila kasi full gospel yung church nila. Hindi ko po maintindihan, ano po ba yung full gospel?
Well, yung full gospel ay mas technical term para doon sa mga tumitindig na what makes the gospel full ay paglagyan mo ng healing. Full gospel, pag sinasabi nila, kundong ka lang sa saving souls, half gospel lang yan. Para full gospel, dapat may healing. Kaya karaniwan yan ang ibig sabihin ng full gospel church. dinadagdagan nila ng healing. Ay, anong bang tindig natin sa bagay na yan? Naniniwala tayo sa divine healing na ang Panginoon ay nagpapagaling, pero nagpapagaling siya sa pamamagitan ng natural means ng doktor, gamot, o kung minsan himala. Ang mali ay yung asahan na kapag ikaw ay may pananampalataya, dapat gagaling ka by miracle, which is wrong. It gives cruel expectation sa mga hindi naman kailangan, hindi naman ganun. There can be more faith in a person who accepts the possibility that he may not heal, but he submits to God anyway. Kesa dun sabihin mo na kung may pananampalataya ka lamang, dapat gumaling ka miraculously. Kaya yung term na full gospel, karaniwang tumutukoy doon sa nagtuturo na dapat merong healing kasama ng salvation. Last point or two. Jomel.
Actually, nahirapan ako paano ko i-formulate yung tanong ko kasi you mentioned while ago na parang naging questionable tuloy sa akin. Let's say, I've been converted through tracts, pero hindi maliwanag sa akin yung ngayon ko lang na nalaman yung total depravity. Kahit na matagal na akong Christian, kahit na nag-aral din ako sa isang kahit na nakapag-aral din kami sa isang Bible school, pero hindi namin natapos yon. Pero ngayon, was there, kasi since na-introduce kami sa ganong conversion, so questionable ba yung aming conversion because we were introduced to that kind of accepting Christ through that methodologies? Are we going to be, kailangan ba kami ma-introduce para hindi maging questionable yung salvation namin?
Niliwanag ko na kanina, niliwanag ko last month sa series natin na I believe you were here, na we don't need Calvinism to have the gospel. So maliwanag yan last month. Ano?
Yes.
We don't need to be a Calvinist to be a Christian. Kaya nga, dinistansya ko ang Calvinism sa hyper-Calvinism. We don't need to be a Calvinist to be a Christian. And I said kanina in answer to Ike na there are people who are truly saved even through that method or in spite that method. And I know people who are Reformed preachers now who will trace back their original conversion to a Billy Graham crusade. And I don't question that. And I dare not question such conversion precisely because I'm a Calvinist who believes in the sovereignty of God. Kaya nga, kung titindigan mo yung pagkasoberano ng Diyos, eh doon ako payapa na kahit yung mga dumaan sa ganyang method, which I question, ay maaring maligtas dahil nga sa paniniwala kong matibay sa pagkasoberano ng Diyos. Na God is so sovereign that His hand could reach even through the mist of errors. His hand could reach a soul and grab him by the grace of God, make him a Christian, even in spite of the method. So when a person comes to me and tells me, well, I'm a product of a Billy Graham crusade, I went forward, or I raised my hand, I repeated a prayer, I'll say, praise God that He reached you even through that method. So wala akong problema sa ganun. So last point or last mile.
Siguro point lang, hindi siya tanong. Sa experience ko kasi, talagang nung matutunan, napapunta ako sa Puritan Baptist, ang pangalan ng church dati, tapos tinakil namin itong tulip, talagang nabulabog yung payapang puso ko na akala ko, ligtas na ako, kinwestiyon ko yung sarili kong salvation. And at the same time, yung mas malaking kaguluhan sa isip ko, anong ginawa ko dun sa mga taong siniraan ko ng gospel, parang niloko ko ba sila? Babalikan ko ba sila isa-isa? Grabe yung pagkakagulo ng isip ko. Pero syempre, habang nagpapatuloy ka, naliliwanagan ka, yung biyaya na rin ng Lord ang magtutulong sa'yo na makita kung talagang saan ka. In my case, apparently, nagkaroon ako ng kaligtasan after. Pero maraming namang natuto ng tulip ay talagang Kristiyano na.
Okay, thank you. I think many can attest to the same na Kristiyano na sila bago pa nila natutuhan itong Calvinism. Meron namang iba na they have been professing to be Christians until they were confronted with Calvinism and they realized that what they had before was not a true gospel. So you have both. I belong to the category of professing faith. When I was a child, my Sunday school teacher led me to a sinner's prayer, and I assumed myself to be a Christian for more than a decade. And I was, in fact, a Bible student until I bought a booklet by A.W. Pink for no other reason than that it was the cheapest and it was all that my money in the pocket could afford. So I needed something to read. So I bought a booklet by A.W. Pink. The title of the booklet was Repentance. And I read through it. And every page challenged my assumptions. And until I crumbled to pieces, and that brought me to real faith. And I could go back to the date of April 18, 1981. I was a Bible student then. Yet, it was the realization of biblical repentance that brought me to gospel faith when I already professed the faith. It was not yet even Calvinism. It was just the issue of gospel repentance. So itong bagay na ito, hindi natin pinipresenta na kailangan ka lang alam mo ang tulip para alam mo ang gospel. I hope no one thinks that way because that's not the point. But it does tell us this is how you deepen your appreciation of grace. Now, for some, that may mean you will understand grace for the first time in a gospel way. For others, it may just have a deepening effect, but you already have the grace of God. So whether one or the other, we want simply to glorify God and His grace through this series. And sana it has a good start. Let's close in prayer. Nagpapasalamat kami, dakila naming Diyos, sa aming pinag-aralan. At bagamat ito'y isang bagay na nagpapakita ng aming kasamaan sa iyong harapan, may it not be one that will repel us, but rather one that will attract us more to the grace of God. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And help us, Lord, even in our examination of ourselves, that we may be able to see the practical result of this doctrine, even in matters like child rearing, child discipline, and in matters that have to do with Christian graces of humility, of evangelistic practices. Sana sa mga bagay na ito ay hamunin mo kami at hayaan ang doktrina na ito ay hindi maging paraan lang ng pagbabansag sa aming teolohiya, kundi paraan ng pagpapalalim ng biyaya. Make this a system of doctrine not for our label, but a system of doctrine to deepen our understanding of grace, to make it more radiant to us, so that we may truly be amazed at your grace. We give you back the glory for that grace that has brought your Son to die for our sins. And indeed, we confess, He is our only hope. As sons and daughters of Adam, we carry His imputed sin, but only in Christ is our salvation. May we not hold to our morality. May we not hold to our delusive virtue of the heart, but may we only hold in faith to the Lord Jesus Himself. We give you back the praise for Christ's sake. Amen.